There we go. Hey, welcome to the first reboot of the Kid Ministry Collective show on I can't say CM Connect anymore. Boy, back into old habits.
Google.
Google Hangouts. Here we go. For those that will be watching this program, welcome. And this will be the first of hopefully many programs with the KMC group. And today's episode is just to kind of introduce our team, part of our team. We're going to have kind of an afternoon team and an evening team because we'll be running these programs both at night and during the day. And this afternoon I'm joined by Sarah and Dave, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves in a second. And we'll look forward to getting to know the other gang later on tonight at 9 o'clock. Is going to be the second show. So welcome back to the KMC program, guys. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Go ahead, Sarah.
I just said I'm doing great. Like, this is awesome to have KMC back on the internet, higher technology here.
Yes. Hopefully it will work better than our first part two, take two. But how you doing, Dave?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Thank you. I don't know if you could hear me here. I can't hear myself, but I could hear you guys. But yeah, it is exciting to be here and and try something new here with a little video as opposed to just audio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be good. It's nice and sunny here in Cleveland. Don't have a lot of snow, but a decent amount. Not like you East Coast people that got whacked with the nor'easter a few weeks ago.
It's almost gone. It rained a lot, so it's almost gone now.
Oh, okay. Not bad. Dave, you got like 36 inches in that day, right?
Yes, we did. So a lot of shoveling. I love the snow, and it's one of those times that I really get to know my neighbors because in our neighborhood, it seems like people go in their house and stay in their house. But when it snows so much, people come out and you get to know your neighbors because you're all shoveling together.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right, well, let's get this party started. I thought it'd be good for each of you to kind of share a little bio of yourself and what you do. So we'll let ladies go first. So Sarah, tell us a little bit about your ministry, where you're at, that kind of thing.
Awesome. So my name is Sarah, obviously, and I am the children's director, children's pastor here in New Hampshire. So it is pretty cold. There are people that live up here in the Northeast, contrary to popular belief. And I've been in full-time ministry at this church for about 3.5 years now. Full-time kids ministry for about 3.5 years now here. So I'm just developing a growing team, and we've got an awesome group of kids that I get to work with. I also, we have a college here at the church, it's a ministry school called Master's Commission, so we have a lot of students around here that are very interested in kids ministry as well, and I'm able to work with them. So it's interesting because I have pretty much the whole gamut of ages, whether it's kids that I get to interact with on, you know, on Sundays, or parents, or volunteers. It's every single age that I get to work with, so it's pretty awesome.
Fantastic. Fantastic. All right, Dave, tell us about yourself.
Oh, myself? Let's see. I've been at this church for 12 years. I was at another church for 5.5 years. I am the children's pastor. Absolutely love it here. There's a church that my wife and I attended when we were in college, so it was nice to be able to come back here. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. I love having my family involved in the ministry with me, and not just because we need more volunteers, but just because it's so fun working with them every week and things. So my oldest son, who is a junior in high school, he's been prophesied over that he's going to be a children's pastor. So it's neat to be able to give him some more and more things, just as he continues to get older. And, you know, he's going down to the Orange Conference with me this year. And just a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Well, that is great. And I serve in Cleveland, Ohio, just outside of Cleveland, I should say, east side. Been here for just starting 3 years now. and I've been in ministry, kid ministry, for 28, 29 years now.
You're old.
Yeah. I know. Don't remind me. Don't remind me. That's why I hang out with people like Sarah, because she keeps us young. So, gets that young wisdom thing going. So anyway, and so, yeah, and my youngest is 18, so that, yeah, that really makes me feel old. I shouldn't have said that. So anyway, so yeah, I'm looking forward to leading the team, and like I said, this first episode is just to get our community familiar with us and what we're going to do here on the KM preview of future shows that we're working on, and I think people are going to get a blessing on this. The nice part is, guys, we've got the video, we've got people can watch it live, and then we'll have the podcast format that people can just listen to the audio if they want to. So I'm pretty excited about the ways that people can connect with us, plus the Facebook group. We're going to continue to have dialogue from the shows put on there, and also get ideas for future shows on there. So, well, let me ask the first question of this episode is, what inspires you most about leading and serving in kid ministry? So, Dave, I'll go to you first.
Okay. I had trouble narrowing it down to the most. You know, that kind of says one thing. excuse me. Kind of came up with three things. Number one, I love seeing leaders use their gifts, especially when you can find something that is a little bit different than the typical, you know, teach or, you know, hall monitor or something like that. But when somebody, you know, just discovers their gifts, whether it be acting, whether it be some kind of tech piece, whether it be decorating, you know, just I love seeing leaders being able to, you know, kind of have that aha moment, like, oh, I can use my gifts. I, you know, I am created for a purpose. I, you know, I can be used. That's one of the biggest things. As far as with the kids, I love seeing kids get it when they kind of have their own aha moment, just like what we're talking about on a Sunday morning matters, you know, just throughout their week at school or on the soccer team, you know, just where they're able to come back with a story about, hey, we learned this on Sunday and I was able to apply it, or, you know, I thought of it when I was going through this situation at school. You know, that's a big thing. And then the third thing was just seeing the kids as they're in middle school ministry, high school ministry, just seeing them continue to develop and just seeing how, you know, what they learned, you know, in children's ministry, how it just kind of carries on, and just how they're able to build upon the foundation and use those gifts that we help them discover in children's ministry and be using it as they continue to get older in middle school and in high school and further on. So those are probably the three things that really kind of, you know, stir my fire and just kind of really get me excited for ministry.
Awesome. Sarah, what about you? What inspires you in serving and leading in kids' ministry?
Well, I'm going to try and not completely echo Dave, but I had some things written down, so I'll share those. I really, for me, being able to empower leaders, no matter what their age, I have a large group of youth leaders, so that's always an interesting dynamic. But some of them are just some of the things that they're so passionate about. It's great to be able to encourage them to use those skills in kids' ministry. I've got some youth leaders that are great when it comes to worship. I have some that I mean, when it comes to special needs kids, they're my go-to. Like, they're my one-on-one people, and they're passionate about it. And there is, I mean, when you've got somebody that's passionate about doing something, even though it might be a little strange or odd, I just love being able to push them in that direction and say, you know what, you go learn all you can about this, you know, this particular special need, and you let me know, you know, what you learn. And so, and with our youth, you know, it's a little different because they're still in school, and so in some cases they might have more time than adults, and in other cases they don't. So that always makes it interesting. That's really one of the big things. But then I just love it when, once again, when kids get it. But when you, it's great to see that light bulb go on when they're in your actual ministry environment, but it's really cool to get those messages and notes from parents throughout the week. The last couple of weeks have been a little crazy for me around here, and so last week alone, I think I had maybe 3 or 4 different people just send me a quick message, and they were like, hey, I saw this picture we have a private Facebook group, and it's like, hey, I saw this picture you posted, and my little girl was right in the front with a Bible and a huge smile on her face, and that's, that just blessed me as a parent. And or having those parents that trust you enough to call you during the week and say, hey, I'm really struggling with this right now. Could you pray? We have a lot that are going through a lot right now. So those are those moments that kind of push me forward as a leader and encourage me and tell me that I'm not completely crazy most days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love. Yeah, that's, man. You guys, that's some really good stuff, and I really can't add, because a lot of what you said is what my heart is. I mean, that's what got me started in kids ministry, is seeing obviously the light come on in a child's eyes when they realize that Jesus is their Savior. I mean, that's what keeps me going. Somebody asked me recently how is it that I stayed in ministry so long? And I said, well, it's because of my calling. This is my passion. This is the only thing that I could picture myself doing right now with my life. And so that's what really keeps me going. And then I think the other thing that inspires me is I've come to that place now where I see myself transitioning to being more of a leader of leaders and a mentor to others and challenging others. And that's, Sarah, I like what you guys are doing up there, and at some point we'll have to do another program about what you do with the young people and the program that you're doing, because I think that's something that a lot of us that have been veterans in children's ministry for a while need to start considering, is how can we develop and start more interns and mentors, kind of things. So good stuff. Well, what's one thing that you've learned recently that has improved your leadership or changed your leadership? Sarah, what about you?
Well, I think my one thing is something that I've known for a while but never really thought about it in a children's ministry sense, is that people want ownership. And just because somebody is a volunteer, they're not in a paid position, that doesn't mean that you can't give them ownership over something or, a particular area. One of my biggest problems is the fact that I think, well, I get paid for this, so I should be the one that does it. And not necessarily that I'm the best person to do whatever that thing is, but that's just how I think. And so really shifting that thought and taking those moms that say, hey, I have a couple hours in the morning, what can I help you with? And I'll be like, well, this room really needs to be organized, so you're great at that, come and do that. But really giving somebody ownership over a particular area. And something somebody said to me was, well, you might be paid, but that means that you're being paid to make sure it gets done, not necessarily do it yourself. Mm. So that's something that's not necessarily something new in, that I've learned, but it's something that I'm really realizing what it means.
That's good stuff. All right, Dave, what do you think? What's something that you've learned recently that has improved or changed your leadership style?
Yeah, I mean, once again, those are great things, and I could echo her statements. One of the biggest things for me, just to kind of build on top of that, is I'll say two things. The big ask, I could be very, kind of as Sarah was saying, I'm the one getting paid, so I should be able to do it. And, yes, I could run the sound system on Sunday morning and, do the visuals on the computer screen and teach the lesson and do the jokes. But yet, when I do all those things, I'm not letting other people use their gifts and building up a team. So one of the big lessons that I'm trying to learn is just having that big ask, not being afraid to ask people to do something. Sometimes for me personally, that's tough to do because, I just have a struggle with asking people to do something when I see that I can do it. I've got the ability to do it, but I need to ask to equip other people. Mm-hmm. So just communicating that need in a way that helps people buy in with ownership. And the one thing that's helping me do that is through storytelling and just kind of stating, you know, the purpose of why we need somebody on that tech or to do the visuals, you know, how important that is to the overall big scheme of the morning or of the, you know, purpose of children's ministry, and just being able to communicate that effectively in a way that is short and compact, but, you know, really, you know, packs a relative, you know, has a relative impact, a truthful one, but really kind of captures, you know, someone's attention and the purpose of it, and really, you know, helps them own the ministry, per se.
Excellent. You know, in fact, I think we could actually do another show. I'll have to write that down. That would be a good show topic, is the whole idea of how do we learn to give things away. I know I've been a part of Infuse, and one of the things that Brother Jim shared with us was, you know, you learn by experience, but you don't always have to learn from your own experiences. There's a lot of others out there that have experience that you can learn from. And so sometimes we need to go and look that different direction. I think one of the things I learned recently was about sometimes we need to change the filter of the way we look at things. That sometimes we get, what's the best way of saying it? Well, like recently there's a TV commercial about being nose blind to smells. You know, you can walk into a place and you're so familiar with it, you don't smell anything different, but somebody else that walks into it goes, whoa, you know, that's terrible. Well, it's kind of like that, you know, we have, as leaders, sometimes have to change our filter of the way we look at things, the way we're doing things, and say, can it be done differently? How could it be done differently? How could it be done better? And not necessarily to go out and find what somebody else is doing and copy it, but just to change your own view of what you're doing and saying, how can this be, you know, a better way of ministry? There was really an impactful question of how often do I change my lens? How often do I change my perspective so I can try to see things a little bit differently as a leader? I thought that was a really good, thoughtful statement that somebody challenged me with as well. So, well, one of the next things that I wanted to do is. I love reading. Leaders are learners, and so I'm a book reader all the time. And so, thought it'd be fun to ask about what books are influencing you. So, before you steal mine, I'm jumping in. I even brought mine with me.
I brought mine too. So be careful.
Oh no! I didn't bring mine.
So first one is this one called Grace Walk. And Steve McVeigh, this was a book I read a number of years ago that just really challenged my view of grace and of letting go of past hurts and challenges. And I know a lot of us in ministry go through a lot of tough stuff. And so this book has been huge in my life, is just a freeing way of thinking, challenging my thinking about my own view of grace and living the Christian life. And it's a real simple read; it doesn't take long at all. But that's a good one. And then I have to give a shout out to one of my mentors, and that's Stretch by Jim Weidman. Mm-hmm. I think this needs to be on every kidman's shelf. You got to take your team through it, reread it. My copy, actually this is my second copy, because I've been beating up the first one so much, I thought, all right, I need a fresh one, so I got a fresh copy. I'm actually, by the way, I'm going to do a giveaway of, I've got an extra copy of this, brand new, that I will mail to somebody. So whoever watches this show and messages me on Twitter at PTBump and direct, you know, just message me and said, I watched the KMC show, I want Stretch. First person that messages me that gets the book. So we'll see who gets that one, and we'll have to share that next show. So those are my two books. It was hard picking. I don't know about you guys, but that was hard to pick two. So we may have to reoccur, you know, share more books.
I agree.
Definitely.
Because there's a lot more that I could have picked, but those are two that just jumped out at me. So Sarah, I'll let you go first.
Okay, it's really hard once again. I actually have three books in front of me. I picked two, and then I saw one on my desk, and I was like, oh, so good. So this one is, it's called The New Breed, Equipping the 21st Century Volunteer. And I actually picked this up when I was at CPC a couple of weeks ago. It just jumped off the shelf at me. I didn't even read the back. I was like, I'm just going to grab that book. So it's great just talking about volunteers and how they've changed over the last 10 years. I honestly have not finished reading this book, so.
So you'll have to give us a book report later then.
Yeah, I'll give you a book report later. But I already talked to my pastor, and I was like, I'm pretty sure that our entire staff just needs to read this book, because it volunteers have changed a lot over the last 5, 10, 20 years. And it just talks about recruiting and training and managing and all of that. So that's one of them. And then my other book, well, this is where the toss-up comes, okay? I'm going to go with this one. It's Holy Kids right here. It's a Lifeway Publishing. It's really neat because this book is a really super bright. I'll show you some of the inside. It's just a super bright, colorful, kind of looks like a magazine. But for kids ministry, it's great because it goes through the characteristics of a child at different ages, so spiritually, emotionally, socially. But then it also talks about environments for learning. It talks about creative approaches to learning. It's just kind of, it's the whole child sort of thing. And this book, I have sticky notes all throughout it where I've written notes and just different ideas for things. And it's helpful for me because it's a super easy read. It's not even really a read, actually. It's more of just kind of a glance through. But those are my two books for the day.
Should we let her share the third one, Dave?
Sure, why not?
Okay, all right.
Go for it. Share the third one. I want to know. You've got my curiosity now.
This is another Kidman book. It's super simple. It's children's ministry that works. Really good. Brother Jim has some stuff in it. Sue Miller, a lot of those, you know, Mary Rice Hopkins, a lot of people that have been around for a really long time. Just like you, Dom. Sorry. I you can dish it too. So I just figured I'd throw that out there. It's great. Talks about, you know, building a leadership team and liability in children's ministry and volunteers and music and also it's just all over. I like books that are the whole package.
Good stuff. I like that. All right, Dave.
Well, first of all, this is getting expensive. So out of the two books that you recommended, Tom, and the three that Sarah did, I have three of them, but I didn't have two that Sarah recommended, so I already ordered them off Amazon. And so they'll be here Monday. So,
well, I hope you like them as much as I did.
So this is, like I said, it gets expensive. So, but seriously, I already did order them off Amazon as we were talking. So, for me, I didn't bring the props. So I apologize. They're on my shelf somewhere and things like that. But, and these books have been around for a while. One, Gary Thomas, is one of them. He's the author of Spiritual Pathways. Just talks about how everybody, you know, gets close to God through different things. It was a really good read for me to discover that I'm a naturalist. I meet God best, you know, outdoors in nature, whether it be at the beach, in the woods. But it was really good for me. I already kind of knew that, but it was good for me to read that people really get closer to God when they're an activist. For me, that's totally opposite me. But when people are really, you know, on fire and protesting or doing things for God, for you know, some of these wonderful causes, that's how they get closer to God. And I never saw that before or never realized that. So that was one that was a really good read. The other one's been around for a while also, by Andy Stanley, called Choosing to Cheat. Just talks about, basically, you're going to have to cheat something. There's always going to be work on your desk to get done. And you could either choose to cheat the work, or you could choose to cheat from your family time. That there's no way that you're ever going to have all your work done. And, you know, so you have to choose to cheat the work sometimes and leave some things unfinished, and, you know, to make sure that you really spend time with your family. So that was a really good read for me, just as I have a perfectionist mentality for some things, and realizing that I do need to leave some things on the table unfinished, or sometimes good enough is good enough, mm-hmm. and things like that. So those would be the two that really, you know, helped me. So
thanks.
Good stuff. Yeah, I'm not as fast in multitasking as Dave is, but I will order those other books because I need to add them to my book pile. I've got a couple other books on my desk that they're in my book pile, but I'll share those later. I can't tell you about them because I haven't read them yet, but they're on the to-do list, so that'll work. All right, well, final question is, what are you excited about in your ministry right now? What most excites you about where you are and what you're doing locally? So, Sarah, how about you?
Oh, this one's so hard for me. 2016 is going to be a pretty exciting year for our kids ministry, for our church in general, but right now, first of all, we're in a pretty big kids ministry renovation. I'm getting new paint downstairs, like starting from the foyer all the way down. It is new paint. And I know you both understand just how exciting that really is. So I actually might post a couple of pictures in the KMC Facebook a little bit later, just some of our in-between pictures. So that's just really, that's one of those exciting things for me. And also just with our ministry and our local ministry, getting a lot more involved with our team in the community is something that we're going to be working on. We have done some community outreaches, but I've strategically sort of changed some things up within our volunteers and our scheduling, that some of these people are going to be actually leading some outreaches in communities, not just so they're not just serving on Sunday morning. They're actually going to be planning and leading community outreaches. So that's a pretty exciting thing. And then I'm going to be working on some Kidmin curriculum. I finally, after almost 4 years, I feel like I have my team where I can, you know, I feel like I don't have to be there every single Sunday, which is going to really help me. So I'm going to be writing some curriculum this year. So I don't want to give too much away from there, but that's what we're working on here.
Cool. Well, we'll have to get some updates down the road.
Yeah.
For sure. All right, Dave, what are you most excited about there in Mechanicsburg?
Well, before I start that, I want to apologize on my end. I keep dropping in and out, so I apologize if that is showing up and things like that. But for me, one of the things I'm most excited about, for years I've been off.
Oh, no, I think he really left.
Yeah. He was so excited that he can't control himself.
Yeah, there he is.
Nope, so I apologize. I don't know why that's happening.
That was the first time it was actually bad, though.
Yeah, that was the first time I noticed you disappeared.
For me, for years I've been offering to do assemblies at schools. And I do some assemblies at one school in particular, a couple others. And these are character development series like honesty, integrity, friendship, things like that. But it hasn't really gotten any traction at some other schools or districts. And this year I decided, okay, I will do it through my balloon business. I have a balloon business because I twist a lot of balloons and decorate with balloons, as opposed to through the church saying I'll come for free and do this assembly. Instead, I'll, you know, just put out through my balloon business and put a price tag on it. And lo and behold, some schools now, I've got some assemblies lined up. Same exact assembly that I was going to be doing for free, but now they're paying me to come to do the assembly because it's not through the church per se, I think, anyway, but it's through my balloon business. So I'm really excited with that because the biggest thing is it's not just I can't bring the Bible into the school, into the public school, and I know that. But the exciting thing is when kids from my church see me on stage and talking about friendship or honesty or things like that, they're able then to evangelize to their friends. They're able to say, hey, he's my pastor. I see him at church or things like that. So just by me being there and helping the school do an assembly, it empowers the kids that I know and that know me to be able to talk to their friends about church, about faith, and about these things that I can't from the stage, but it equips them a little bit better. So I'm excited about that. You know, definitely, and I'm also excited in some ways, you know, to have a little income come from it because my son is looking at colleges and things like that. Another children's pastor told me that, you know, maybe that is God's way of, you know, just blessing me and our family, you know, by doing that, that now, you know, we have a little bit of money. It's not a lot, but a little bit of money as opposed to doing it for free. So excited for that and the opportunity. We've got a couple lined up for this spring. So
that is awesome. And I love getting bells in my ear.
Oh, sorry. That was probably me. Got a phone call.
Gotta love technology. So, that's much fun.
On a Mac, you know, it's connected to my computer, everything. To my iPad, to my phone, everything.
I know. I have things going all over the house, and it drives my family crazy. makes them think I'm all over the house, which is good. Keeps my kids in line. They think I'm everywhere. So, well, that's awesome, guys. I love hearing what God's doing around in our Kidmin community. That's what the KMC is all about. I'll just share one thing. I think one of the things I'm most excited about right now is we're going to try a couple new things here at our church, and one is a family VBS. We decided to step away from the traditional one for a year, and we're going to do a three-evening program with food and fun and craziness and a way to connect. Instead of just having parents drop their kids off, we want them to come together with their families, have some food, have some fun, hear a great program. We're hoping that this launches our family ministry strategy this summer to really show people that we've got a path of discipleship that we want to take them on. You know, so it's something that we're pretty excited about as we plan and continue to pray through. You know, we still have our other traditional things of a performing arts camp and a soccer camp and stuff, but I'm really most excited about the family thing because I had a mom come up to me last year at Bible school, and she at first looked real serious, and she's like, I need to talk to you. And I was like, oh, no, what did I do? She didn't like an object lesson I did, or because I did some pretty wild stuff up on stage, and I didn't want the kids to go home and repeat it or something. And so I just had all these visions playing through my head really fast of I was in big trouble. And instead, she was like, so when do we get to do this? And I'm like, excuse me, ma'am? And she's like, well, I want to do this with my kids. I keep hearing, you know, they come home and they just talk the whole way home about how much they're learning and how much fun they're having, and they're singing the songs. And she said, I want to do it with them. And I looked her in the eye and said, next summer. And so I'm really most excited about just watching and seeing what God does by bringing families together. So it ought to be interesting for sure. So, you know, we'll keep the KMC. I'm looking for ideas, so hopefully those that are watching, if you've done a family VBS before, I don't want to reinvent the wheel, so I'll post that question in the forum.
So we'll have to chat.
Ah, there we go. All right.
Yes, they're fun.
Cool, because I'm looking at doing something different. So.
Yeah, any evening like that. I mean, that's one of the things that I've made a commitment that Any special events we have, I'm not doing just children's events anymore at church. You know, we get them Sunday mornings, just them, and I really want the families to be there to have an experience together, because families are so busy running to soccer, to this, to that, where their kids are still off in their area and parents are watching or different things like that, and there's very little time where families are actually together, even just playing together in the gym, an open gym night, where, you know, they're able just to run around. You know, so to be able to do that, and it takes less people to organize the event because the parents can be helping with the craft or making that, you know, if they're doing it together as a family and things. So,
see, there's another show. There's another show right there. How are we really partnering with families, and how are we really engaging in our programming and our planning? Because we talk about it. A lot of children's ministry people I know talk about we're family friendly, we're doing this, and but yet it doesn't. It still seems like a lot of us are still stuck on, you know, the drop off model, and so that'll be a good show, guys. We'll have to do that one again. We'll have to think about that one. I'll add that to the list of show ideas. So, well, cool. Well, this has been a fun and eventful first episode of the Kid Ministry Collective Live, and I'm looking forward to doing this again with you guys. And like I said, we'll see where it goes from here, what God does from here. And if you're watching, hopefully you'll connect up with us, make a comment that you watch the show on the Facebook group. If you're not part of the Facebook group, join it, and we'd love to have you part of our KMC community, and we'll look forward to doing this again real soon. So thanks, guys, for your time, and I will talk to you again real soon. So awesome. We'll sign off for now.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Have a great weekend.
All right. See y'all later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.